Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 21. Let's stand together. Ephesians 5 and verse number 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, for dealing with me today and showing me different thoughts and different things. I thank you for this Bible that we read, and also thank you for the book that you led me to purchase. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the next few minutes of time that you would give me the right words to say, speak to us, and encourage us tonight. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you for standing. Marriage that works. Marriage that works. When I began to study this scripture and began to read through this again, I try to give these verses to every couple that I'm meeting with before I marry them. And I have them read them and talk about it. I try to do that with every couple. And I believe that the scripture that we have just read is the clearest picture in the scripture, of all the scripture on marriage. I believe it's some of the clearest. But I also know that the day that we're living in, the world wants to take the Word of God and wants to make it look foggy or make it blurry or make it muddy up the waters a little bit. And I also know that the day that we're living in, even godly people has a hard time with the verses that we have just read tonight. I realize that. I also realize that right before this scripture, the Apostle Paul was speaking of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'd be the first to say that the only way that we will ever be able to understand these verses or even have a desire to even live the verses that we have just read, so the Holy Spirit has to be real and strong in our lives and our hearts. We have to be led by Him. Because within ourselves, when we read the very first verse, we say, I can't do it. I can try to do it, but I can't. I've tried it before, Pastor, but I just can't. I just struggle with these verses. We all struggle with them. Every single person that's breathing struggles with these verses. That's why we must be led and filled with the Spirit of God. Verse number 21 says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's as far as we're going to make it tonight. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That word submitting just means to be under, to be under, to put under, and it means obedience. Obedience. No doubt that this word is challenging. submitting. I know very few women who says, I enjoy submitting to my husband. I know very few men who says, well, it says submitting one to another. I guess there's times I need to submit to my wife. Submitting. To be under, to be obedient, to put under. Submitting one to another. It's a partnership. It's a binding together. It's a agreement on the Word of God. It's being filled with the Spirit of God. Here's a thought that I wrote down. Thought. Who is in charge of the marriage? Who is the head of the marriage? Who is the one that is at the top of the marriage? If we miss this part, then we've missed it all. So many times, maybe the husband will say, well, I'm in charge of the marriage. You know, and maybe for dating couples or for young people that are here tonight and maybe you're not dating, you say, well, I'm just in a relationship or I would like to be in a relationship. So who's in charge of this thing? Well, it's real simple. The answer is God is. God's in charge. And I think right there is where most of us get messed up. I do. I believe that just to be able to say, God's in charge of this marriage. God's in charge of this home. God's in charge of this church. God's in charge of my life. It's all about God, and I'm going to fall under His leadership, and I'm going to fall under what His Word teaches. And you know what? God's in charge of this thing. If God's in charge of this thing, then these verses will be a blessing to you and they won't make your chest hurt. If God's in charge of everything. But it's funny, if we're not careful, we'll say God's in charge until there's something that we want to be in charge of. And if you had any night that you come to the revival, you see what that gets you when we want to be in charge. When God's not in charge, I'm going to tell you where you'll wind up. You'll wind up in a fish's belly. And it's not because He's mad at you, it's because He loves you and His mercy is just so good, so good. God's in charge. So I have to stop right there and I have to ask myself this question. Is God in charge of my family? Is God in charge of my marriage? Is God in charge of my home? Is God in charge of my finances? Is God in charge of my life? God, are You in charge? Am I under You? God's in charge. See, because it says in this verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves in the fear of God. And when I read that word fear of God, automatically my mind said, I know exactly what that fear means. It means in reverence of God. And the Holy Spirit put a little nugget in my mind and said, look up fear. That thought come to me. Look up fear. And you know what it means? It means alarm. It means alarm. It's like this morning when all of the fire trucks come down the road. And you know you've got a son and a daughter-in-law and a little grandbaby that lives at the bottom of the road. And they all come by. The first thing that happens in my soul is there's an alarm that goes off. There's an alarm. And I reached over and grabbed my phone and I look at my phone and my son's left me a message and he's showing me a video of a barn on fire. And as bad as I hated that that barn was on fire, there was a sense of whew that come over my soul. Are you with me? See, it was that sudden fear and that alarm that went off in my soul. And that's what this word means right here. It's that alarm. It's that smack you right in the face verse. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let it be an alarm in your soul tonight. Let that happen. If God is in control of our homes, if God is in control of our relationships, and if God is in control of our marriages, What does that look like? What does it look like if God is in control? It looks like this. It looks like His love and it looks like His sacrifice. That's what it looks like. So my marriage, mine and Miss Watkins' home, your marriage, your relationship, or just your life in general, should honor God. It should honor God. If God is in control, He should get honor. If God is in control, there's going to be His love there. There's going to be His sacrifice there. I've never seen a time since I've been pastoring, never have I seen a time where so many people are struggling in their marriages. So many people. And I preached a message, it's been several years ago, and the title of the message is, Can You See It? And I preached a message along these lines. It's funny that when people are going through things, they act like that no one else can see it. And it's also funny that when we're dealing with things in our life, sometimes we're the last people to see it. But everybody else is like, well, I seen that coming a long time ago. You ever said that? I seen that coming. Can I tell you as your pastor, there's a lot of times that I look around at people and I see it coming. I see it. They don't think you see it, but you just see it. So many people are struggling. So many people are struggling. And I believe one of the biggest struggles is in our marriages is verse number 21. And in our relationships, even in your friendships. You say, well, this message don't apply to me. I'm talking about even in our friendships. Every relationship that people has, there's this one overshadowing problem that I believe is in all of our lives, and especially in the day that we're living in now. It's a lot worse than it used to be just 5 years ago. And I believe that problem is this. It's all about me. It's all about me. This whole thing's about me. That's pretty much what got Jonah in trouble. I believe Jonah felt like it was all about him. But it wasn't about him. It was about falling on the umbrella of submitting to the will of God, and it was about a people that was out of God's will. But Jonah wanted to make everything about him. And if we're not careful, we want everything to be about us. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you went into the marriage thinking it was going to be all about you, you're mad about 95% of the time. That's just a fact. It's about honoring God. Love your wife. Love your husbands the way God does. Love her as Christ loved the church. Love her sacrificially. That means offer to God. It means to surrender. And the wife, what does the church do for Christ? Service and respect. It's an amazing thing to me. It's an amazing thing to me, church, how many men don't love their wives the way that they're supposed to be loved. And it's amazing to me how many women and how many wives don't respect their husbands. They don't respect them at all. It's just craziness in the day that we're living in. I read this today in that book. And I just sit there and laughed. It said one of the problems in marriages today is people just don't get along. I was like, I bought this whole book to read that real deep statement. Pretty much this whole chapter is just Chip Ingram on the radio every single day. One of the most deepest Bible scholars you'll ever sit and listen to. And the whole first chapter, you know what he pretty much said in the first chapter? married people just don't get along. And I was like, and I said, amen. Most married people don't get along. Most married people just don't get along. Most dating couples don't get along. It's an amazing thing. It's just people just, they just don't get along. Oh. But what happened? What happened? And here's the question of the night. Miss Sandy, I was sitting in a recovery meeting one day beside this young man and his wife. And I looked at this young man, and this is the question that I asked him. I said, what is it that happens that causes you to want to go back to drinking again? I said, because something has to happen. There is something that is triggering that. There is something that is going on. And what is it? And this was the answer that I got. That's the million-dollar question, ain't it? And I looked at him and I was like, so what's the answer? I don't know. That's the million-dollar question. If I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't do it no more. And I'm like, there's got to be something. There's got to be something. Are you with me tonight? There's got to be something. And this is what I'm noticing. This is just what I'm noticing. Now listen to this. If you find a couple, whether they've been married a year, whether they've been married 5 years, or whether they've been married 75 years, and you say to them, what's going on? Is everything going okay? And everybody says, yeah, everything's going great. But I'm finding out the problem is no one wants to talk about what the problem is. The problem is no one wants to talk about what the problem is. It's kind of like when Jonah, and I know I'm going back to Jonah, but my goodness, I've been in there a month now. It's like when Jonah, Hardy, was in the bottom of the ship and they were throwing everything out of the ship. The problem was Jonah. And there's so many times in our marriages, we ain't getting along. Now, I'm going to say this. And you're going to know what I'm saying because I'm preaching to almost everyone in here is adults. You can sleep together. You can go out to eat together. You can go on vacation together. You can do a lot of things together that married couples do, but at the end of the day, you still don't get along. You just don't get along. You just... And if it was to say, why don't you get along? What's the problem? That's the million-dollar question, ain't it? That's the million-dollar question, ain't it? I don't really know. No. The problem is we don't want to deal with what the problem is. We'll blame it on everything but the real problem. What's the problem? Why can you not get along? Why will couples not deal with it? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what some of you men are thinking. Well, I can't deal with it because if I bring it up, it's going to be a bigger problem. Look, I'd just soon just not deal with the problem than for the problem to turn into a bigger problem. So we'll just live with it. We'll just go through life and we just won't get along. And then you ask the wife, what's the problem? And she says, well, I've been trying to tell him what the problem is for the last 10 years, but ain't nothing changing. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It's the same problem that we had a year ago. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. When I try to talk about the problem, we don't want to talk about the problem. I meet very few men who want to sit down and talk about problems. There's just very few of them. And at the end of the day, what we're doing is we ain't dealing with them. We're just letting it go, and we just don't get along. Most couples, I didn't say all, most couples, I believe, only get along when big events are happening. Because in everyday life, they just don't get along. It's the next big thing. I believe there's something we're forgetting in our relationships. And I want every married couple, I want everyone, if you've been divorced, I want everyone who's here if you're dating, and I want everyone here that if you're not dating, but one day you think you might, to listen to this. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." One flesh, oneness of marriage. That means alike and together. Becoming one. Becoming one. In heart, mind, body. Or we can say spirit, soul, however you want to say it. Heart, mind, and body. Hearts together. It's hard to find married people whose hearts are together. Now, this is something that the Lord dealt with me about, and I want you to hear this now. I just want you to hear it. You know, when you very first started dating, I can say, tell me some stories about when you was dating. Most people would say stuff like this. Oh, man, we done everything together. I got to thinking about me and Miss Watkins' life. This is some stuff right here. We done everything together. We went everywhere together. We hung out together. Can I say this, that before me and Miss Tina got married, I can say this, we was friends. So many times in relationships, when you was dating, you was really good friends. You enjoyed doing stuff together, and you enjoyed being with each other, but now after people's been married for a little while, you're just roommates. They're just roommates. They ain't friends. They don't do hardly anything together anymore, people. It's amazing to me how it happens. And it's amazing to me what happens. And then all of a sudden, in your marriage or in your relationship, your friendship goes away. You don't even know how it happened. You say, yeah, but preacher, life will never be the way it was when we dated. Well, you're right. You know, we're adults now. We've got a lot of responsibilities. You got jobs. You got things you got to take care of. But don't change the fact. It don't change the fact that now that you're married that you can't continue to date. Just because you're married don't mean you can't continue to date. I know some of you older men's got some Jovan Musk up in the cabinet somewhere. Just because you're married don't mean that you have to stop dating. But for some reason, we just stop. You just stop. You just stop doing the stuff that you done that was fun when you was dating. You know what a friend is? Same thoughts. You know what a friend is? Same hobbies. You know what a friend is? We like to do things together that's fun. That's a friend. And you know what bothers me? I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I'm going to get on down here a little bit on friends. It bothers me that I see dating couples who don't do anything together that's fun. If you're not doing anything together right now that's fun, you wait till you've been married for about 5 years. You're just going to sit in the house and look at each other and wait on the next soap opera to come on. You say, "Oh, preacher, we ain't got enough time to do anything fun." I remember this, Brother Don, I remember this. I mean, my mind got flooded. I'd go pick up Tina out in Lester. It seemed like it'd take me 3 days to get to her house, and now we live out there. I'd go pick her up. We'd just ride up down Patton Avenue. You say, well, what did you do? We just rode up and down Patton Avenue. And then I'd say, are you hungry? She'd say, yeah, without fail. We'd go to McDonald's. We'd get two cheeseburgers, one fry, two drinks. And we'd pull over somewhere and we'd sit there and we'd eat two cheeseburgers. Look, see, that's what's wrong with us. We didn't go to Ruth Chris. They wasn't one. Right? We went to McDonald's. You say, oh, you can't. Look, you can't take your girlfriend to McDonald's. Yeah, you can. Look, ain't nothing wrong with going to McDonald's. The sad part about it is that some of you ain't taking them nowhere. We'd go to McDonald's, we'd get us two cheeseburgers, we'd get us a fry, we'd get us a couple of Cokes, we'd ride around and she'd look at me and she'd say, you got any money left? I'd say, not, no. Do you? And she said, yeah. Pull back through McDonald's and we're going to get us two ice cream cones. And we'd ride back through there and get us two ice cream cones. And we'd pull over and we'd sit there and we would talk and we would laugh and we would eat an ice cream cone. We just hung out. We was friends. I wish I'd give anything if I could have been in the Babes and Bucks days when the restaurants was on Tunnel Road. But by the time I come along, all that was gone. All we had was Patton Avenue and Putt-Putt. But I'm telling you, we hung out and we had a blast. Don't need to stop now. Say, well, you're a little older, go to Ruth Chris. No. We're a little bit older, and we can just go get two cheeseburgers and a fry and two drinks and get us some ice cream cones and have a blast. Are you with me tonight? Friends, what? Do you remember when the girl you married, you just enjoyed hanging out with them? They was your friend. You remember that? Friday nights, I'll tell you what we'd do on Friday nights. We'd go to a football game together. Some Friday nights we'd go down to the Asheville Speedway and watch Bob Presley wreck his son. And we'd go down there and we'd watch races and we'd sit around and we'd just have fun. We would just have fun and we would talk. And when we really, really wanted to have fun, they opened up this putt-putt place up on the hill, up on Patton Avenue. And we was like, you go up there and play putt-putt. You got to hit it under stuff. You know what I'm saying? They got little hills and little humps. It was like a putt-putt place at the beach. And you say, you can't go to putt-putt and have fun. Stay home. Just stay home. So what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with having fun? Why have we quit having fun? I got this scrapbook at home, girls. Listen to this. We got this scrapbook at home. Let me tell you how much fun we had. You ready for this? I took Tina to a movie one time. She saved a ticket stub and put it in a scrapbook. The night that we went to the movie, I gave her a blueberry sucker. You know what's in there beside them movie tickets? A sucker stick with blueberry on the top of it, and the paper had been wet and it was kind of marled up. She put that sucker stick in there beside them movie tickets. Just had fun. I had a pretty fast car back in the day. We used to go down to Sandy Bottoms, and we used to go down in front of the Granger down there, and I used to drag race. She'd go with me. We'd have fun. It was a blast. Can I just tell you this, since I'm just talking about having fun? One night she said, can I drive your car? I said, yeah. But everywhere we went, Brother Don, somebody wanted a drag race. Never failed. I said, now listen, honey. We're dating. I said, we pull up this red light. If somebody wants a drag race, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. We pull up at a red light on Patton Avenue. Sure enough, I hear brruh, 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 pulling up beside me. I looked over at her. I said, don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. She said, I'm going to tell you something. When that red light turns green, I'm mashing it to the floor. So I tell you what I'm going to do. You hold it to the floor and I'll change gears and I'll tell you when to let off the gas. And she was like, yes. And that red light turned green. She floored it. We took off. I was changing. It was automatic. I had it low. I shifted up in second. I was looking over at her. She was in a trance. I put it up in drive. She was still going. She was beating this car going down Patton Avenue. I said, that's good. That's good. That's good. She rolled the window down. It's the truth. And patted the car on the top of the roof like this. I'm like, you fixing to get me killed. And we have laughed and we've told that story. We just had a blast. Hey, listen to me, church. We just had fun. You still having fun? You having fun in your relationships? When's the last time you went shopping together? When's the last time you just went on a car ride? When's the last time you played putt-putt? When's the last time you sit at a football game? When's the last time you just got in a good drag race? The other car don't have to know it. Just floor it. You say, oh, we have fun just sitting at home. No, you don't. But see, we're living in a world right now to where you're not having fun until you spend hundreds of dollars every night. You don't have to spend $100 to have fun. $10 worth of gas and two cheeseburgers. And that ought to be just enough to have a great evening. No matter how old you are. You say, I ain't got the money to do that, preacher. Listen, if you don't have the money to get you two cheeseburgers Friday night with your wife or your girlfriend, if you'll see me after church, I put some cash in my wallet, Brother Don. I will give them enough money to get the number whatever at McDonald's, the two cheeseburgers. I'll give you enough money to go get that. And we wonder what's wrong with our marriages. We wonder what's wrong with our relationships. We wonder what's wrong with us anymore. And we wonder why we can't get along. You know why you're not getting along? When's the last time you done something fun? You old grouch? You're just an old grouch. I'm just so tired. I've worked all week. I'm just so tired. Son, you wasn't tired when Friday night rolled around and you was dating. Did you ever tell you he was tired? No, he didn't tell you he was tired. Well, he might have. Yeah, he did. He did. He did. You gotta enjoy life, church. We're going to have to enjoy life. We're going to have to enjoy life. I've had people say this before. Yeah, I used to do that when we was dating, but I ain't going to do that no more. We're married. Really? You know what tonight's message is? If you're married, hang out with your friend and have fun. If you're dating, hang out with your friend and have fun. And if you're in no relationship at all, hang out with your friends and have fun. Have fun. People's quit having fun. You don't have to sin to have fun. You don't have to go out and sin to have fun. Just have fun. You know what I got for Pastor Appreciation? You know what I got? I got a card the other day for Pastor Appreciation that had a Dairy Queen gift card in it. We're going to have fun. You can't go to Dairy Queen with just anybody. But I'm going to tell you one person I can go with, and that's that girl sitting right over there in that yellow vest. I will take her to Dairy Queen, and I can go ahead and tell you what she's going to get. And we're going to have fun. Life's clicking by way too fast. Remember how it used to be? Let me tell you this, and I'll close. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That just, I know I got off of that a little bit, but man, the Lord just really dealt with me about just having fun with my friend.